You have your Bibles, we're going to be reading from Romans chapter 8. We've been hearing from Romans 8 recently, different times. Romans 8, 1 to 14. We can get bogged down and confused with all the law of sin and death. The law was weak. And yet in verse 7, that the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God. Well, the explanation is that we are to, in verse 4, that the righteousness of the law should be fulfilled in us. So there's nothing wrong with God's law. We are to keep the intent of the law, righteousness. Read the first 14 verses. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak in the flesh, through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Since, is a better way of phrasing this, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I was just flipped my Bible over and fell on this verse. God condemns those that call evil good, etc. You know those verses from Isaiah chapter 5. But in verse 24, therefore as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root, the wicked, shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Very important. God's word, his law, his word, in its proper understanding, is righteous and good. And he expects us, not in our own strength, but through the power of his Spirit, to walk according to his word. Let's kneel as we pray.
Greetings in Jesus' name. It is indeed a privilege and exciting to be in God's house and to have each one of you here. Thankful for visitors, thankful for Brother Caleb. Thank you for sharing. God bless you and your involvement there in the state of Maine. And this morning, I might be getting up a little later than normal, but I have no intentions of ripping and tearing through a sermon like I've done already. I actually intend to be very slow and deliberate, because I don't want you to hear me. I want you to hear the Word of God. And I want the Word of God to make a difference today. And I want that Word of God to sink deep within. And I want that Word of God to change each of us. If we came here thinking that there's no change necessary, we may as well go home. And if you came here to hear a man, you may as well go home. I guess we need a title. I think titles are overrated, but we usually have them. And I imagine the sound committee wants a title. A matter of life or death is the title. A good subtitle might be The Dangers of Carnality. Are you ever guilty of reading over a verse of scripture and whereas it should grab your utmost attention, it should actually slam you in the face? You just carelessly read over it and it doesn't do anything. This morning my prayer is that that would not happen, but that the Word of God would speak and would bring about change. My text is in verse 6 that Brother George read, Romans 8, verse 6, "For to be carnally minded is death." That sounds pretty vicious. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Sounds like a contrast, doesn't it? I think I see a real contrast there. And so depending how we are minded, it's going to determine whether or not we end up experiencing death or whether we end up experiencing life. And there's a multitude of contrasts in the Bible, and they all point to one thing. And they all have one end. There's a straight and narrow way. On the other hand, there's a broad way, a wide gate. There's the righteous and there's the unrighteous. There's the sheep and there's the goats. There's the good and there's the bad. There's the holy and there's the unholy. And there's death. And we're talking about spiritual death this morning. We're talking about the second death. Not the physical death that can't really do much. It's so temporary. But this morning we're talking about a spiritual death that is the result of being carnally minded. And the other side of that is, if a person chooses to be spiritually minded, they can have life and peace. And so what a sobering concept. Life or death. We cling to life, don't we? We don't like death. In 1 Corinthians 15, around verse 22, I think it is, or 24, right there somewhere, it says, "The last enemy to be destroyed is death." And so we don't like death, and rightfully so. Death is a, physically speaking, we're talking physical here, and it was there in 1 Corinthians 15, "The last enemy to be destroyed is death." That's physical death. And so it's a no-brainer, right? You don't have any problem this morning, do you? Choosing between life and death, do you have any problem with that? You're choosing life, aren't you? Or are you really? Because the way you are minded is what you are choosing. And so on one hand, we would say, well, that's a no-brainer, and we're all choosing life. But the sad fact is, we're not all choosing life. Maybe not everybody's sitting here this morning or listening. And that is tragic. Why does that happen? Because there's a deceiver. Just a couple of weeks ago, it was a day that I knew I was planning on my schedule to run a few miles. And like some other days when it was my day to run, The sun began to set and the shades of night fell and it was dark. And I don't like that. But I do it anyhow. And it was right before Halloween, that horrible name and day that the world has come up with. I thought, well, I'll run up and down Beaver Creek Road, the one we live on, but you know, my neighbors got more hideous and horrible displays out there this year than what they ever did. And don't they just proclaim and shout loudly, death? Disgusting. That anyone would glorify death. All the evil that surrounds Halloween. And you know what? It entered my mind, well, it's dark, and do I really want to run up past that neighbor's place? And that thought about made me angry. And I said, yeah, of course I'm going to run up by that place. And up by it I went. And I wasn't fearful and I wasn't scared, but I was praying. People that put that stuff out need to wake up to the reality of life and death. I would certainly hope and trust that none of us participate in such darkness. My heart's desire this morning is for each one of us to listen to the Word of God. John chapter 10 and 11. Jesus speaking, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. See the contrast. See the contrast this morning as we go through God's word. Death, life. Two options. A right way and a wrong way. A good way and an evil way. And I hope you and I realize that the end result is one of two also. Heaven. Or hell. And that, my friend, my brother, lasts forever. It lasts forever. In that resurrection chapter, as it's known in 1 Corinthians 15, I had referred to verse 26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Verse 54 in that chapter. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Verse 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so verse 54, death is swallowed up in victory. Verse 57, we're giving thanks to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What victory? Over death. Back in verse 22 of that chapter, 1 Corinthians 15:22, see the contrast. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ we're all made alive. It's death, it's life. It's life or it's death. Let's have our hearts open to God's word this morning. More scripture, John chapter 5, verses Verses 24 to 29, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so he hath given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Eternal death, the second death. All they that have done evil have not repented, have not gotten right with God, kept hidden sin hidden, right to the moment the heart stopped beating. And then they experienced the resurrection of the evil. And they're resurrected to damnation. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Which will you choose? Which will I choose? As John chapter 5 continues, there's a very, very sad verse in the Bible. John chapter 5, verse 40. "And you will not come to me." It's Jesus speaking. This morning he's saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." But here Jesus is saying, "And you will not come to me that you might have life." When you refuse to come to me, you're choosing death. You could be coming to me. You could be coming to Jesus and be choosing life. More scripture, John chapter 6, verse 33, "For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Verse 35, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Same chapter, John chapter 6, verses 47 and 48. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." Verse 48, Jesus says, "I am that bread of life." If we are choosing life over death, that means we are choosing Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We're choosing his sacrifice when he hung on the cross, where I belonged and where you belonged. By coming to Jesus and choosing life, I am accepting the fact that he had to die for me, because my sins separated me from a holy God, and there was no way I could get back into that holy presence. But as high priest, Jesus offered himself and paid the penalty and paid the sin, paid for my sin and yours. Are we choosing Jesus? More scripture to speak to our hearts, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. 2 Corinthians 2, 15 and 16. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved, and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. Oh, what a contrast. Death unto death. On the other hand, life unto life. And to think the choice is yours and mine. We can make a choice in this matter. As every human being that was ever born into this world was able to make that choice. And many choose the wrong answer. But why do they? How much deception is involved? It seems so clear and so simple to make the choice. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. What's so hard about it? Why doesn't that shape our lives up? Why doesn't that get our lives in order? Why doesn't that humble us? Why doesn't that make us swallow our pride? The cross of Christ, O sacred tree. The cross of Christ has divided the human race into two categories. The cross of Christ. Christ hung on that tree and he bled and died with my sins in his body and yours. The grave did not keep him and he rose and he is the Lord of life. This has divided the human race into two categories. Life and death are the two categories. And death means eternal hell. And life means eternal glory, heaven. Two destinies. You know the scripture. But what does it mean? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever among you would believe in him would not perish, would not die, but on the other hand, on the other contrast, would have everlasting life. God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. What are you waiting on? Church membership doesn't get you into heaven. More scripture, 2 Timothy. Chapter 1. Second Timothy, chapter 1, verses 8 to 10. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Hallelujah. What a glorious and wonderful Savior hung on that cross for me and you. Isn't it enough to make us lay our life down? To start being spiritually minded instead of carnally minded? More scripture in 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Or in other words, he that hath not the Son of God hath death. Romans 8, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. In verse 7, Father explains that. Because, why is this? Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Paul uses the term flesh down through this passage. You see the word flesh in verse 3, in verse 4, in verse 5. Now you see the word carnal in verse 6, and the word carnal in verse 7, and then in verse 8 again you see the word flesh. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. I know there's more to the word carnal, but I'm going to suggest this morning that pretty much for our passage here, the two are pretty interchangeable. For to be fleshly minded is death. For to be carnally minded is death, okay? Now, the word flesh is used in various ways in the Scripture. But here, I believe it is predominantly used by Paul here in Romans 8. The flesh is referring to the old nature. The old, evil, sinful nature. And if you claim that you don't have a struggle this morning between the flesh and the spirit, I don't believe you. Or I'm very, very alarmed that you are not experiencing that. What does it mean to be carnally minded? We better find out, because it leads to death. Verse 7 tells us it's against God. It's not subject to the law of God. And Paul uses the word flesh in verse 8 in place of the word carnal. Don't you love how Scripture goes on and defines and explains itself? It does if you'll really look at it. A lot of times you don't even need any special dictionary. It goes on and explains its own words and defines them. So to be carnally minded is to be fleshly minded. And remember, in this passage especially, the flesh speaks of the old sin nature. And remember this, it brings death, eternal death, spiritual death. In other words, if we let one thing live, the other thing dies. And so if you allow the carnal to live and live and live, the spiritual life, and that spiritual mindedness is going to die. Spiritually minded, controlled by the Holy Spirit. The result is life. Eternal life and peace. But the contrast was carnally minded, fleshly minded, allowing the old nature to rule and reign and take back over, results in death. But to be spiritually minded is life. If I say it often enough, we might get it. Death or life. The first verse of Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation. To who? To them that are in Christ Jesus. Now, depending on what Bible you have in front of you, the rest of this verse won't be there. And I think that's very sad. Obviously, by the whole context here, it really belongs there. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so there's no condemnation in Christ. You come to Christ, you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, okay. Now you're a Christian, now you're saved. Now you have life in place of death. but now you also have a life to live and you have a choice to make. In this life I'm going to live, now that I've accepted Christ, am I going to answer and walk and go after the flesh? Or am I going to answer and walk and go after the Spirit? Look at the contrast in verse 2. Romans 8, 2, for the law of the Spirit of life, there you have it, life, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The contrast. This morning, brother and sister, my friend, it's life or death that we end up choosing. Verse 3 says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, the law was not inherently wrong. But matching the law up with the human flesh was no match, and because of the weakness of the flesh, there was failure here. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. What we have here is there was no hope for victory until God sent his Son. The law was letting us in a wretched condition. Wasn't the law's fault, but it was the flesh's fault. It was the fallen human nature's fault. And so there was no hope until God sent his Son. How did the Son do it? How did Jesus do it? By choosing to never be carnal. Tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 4:15. He did it by never being carnal. Jesus Christ was truly human, but he never sinned. Not a sinner. That's what it's telling us here in Romans 8, verse 3. He was never a sinner. He was truly human. Likeness of sinful flesh. That means he was truly human, but without sin. He was never carnal. We had Sunday school lesson today on Thanksgiving. Are you truly thankful? And are we praising God this morning for such a wonderful Savior? For the love of God. Verse 13 really goes along with our text, verse 6. Remember verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Look at verse 13. For if you live after the flesh, that is, if you live after the carnal, if you live after the flesh, here's the contrast, ye shall die. But if ye, here's this other choice, if ye through the Spirit do mortify, if you, through the Spirit's help, you're not going to do it on your own, but if you, through the Spirit's help, do indeed put to death the members of the flesh, the Bible says, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Maybe like me in times past, you've heard someone bring that big question out. Is there such a thing as a carnal Christian? You ever hear that question? What answer did you hear? First Corinthians. We have a little bit more on carnality here. First Corinthians chapter 3. Verses 1 to 4, listen closely. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as on the spiritual, but as on the carnal, even as on the babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. I believe he's saying very clearly, now you should be able to bear it, but you're still babes in Christ, you're still carnal. For you're yet carnal, verse 3. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions Are ye not carnal, and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Is there such a thing as a carnal Christian? Yes. It's right here in Scripture. It couldn't be made any plainer. He says, and I, brethren, he calls them brethren. I, brethren, could not speak unto you as on the spiritual, but as on the carnal, even as on the babes in Christ. They're in Christ, but they're remaining as babies. So yes, a Christian can be carnal. I'd be lying to you if I had told you I was standing here this morning and I didn't have any carnality in me, any fleshly. That there isn't any struggle between the spirit and the flesh. Yeah, not all carnality is what we think of the quickest, like sexual immorality, lust, all that, or even lying and stealing. You know, we think of these things when we think of the carnal, when we think of the works of the flesh. You know, 2 Corinthians, I think it's 7, verse 1, talks there about cleansing ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. So not all carnality is the sexual immorality type, or the lying and the stealing and the cheating, being mean and hateful. Verse 4 points out some of the other carnality. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? I have a warning for this congregation, that each one of us will be very careful not to take honor and glory away from God, who is a jealous God and who needs it all, and elevate man by things we say. I've heard some things that have been pretty scary, where I believe man has gotten some glory, where God and Jesus Christ need it all. Another area of carnality is pride. And here's my warning number 2 to this congregation. Proud. And thinking we have it all together. Thinking that we have all the answers. Because we've been raised brethren. And because we have that thing called the brethren card. Which, by the way, I don't judge me too quick here. I happen to agree with everything on the brethren card. But is it ever idolized? And is it ever almost worshipped instead of Christ? Sometimes we need help outside. Yes, it has to be scriptural, but that's not rush to judgment. Taking pride in having all the answers, the perfect doctrinal church. And yet we keep going down in numbers. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
I invite you to stand for prayer.